John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Let's just pray for Simon as he comes up. Dear God, please give Simon the words that we need to hear today, and help us and him be a blessing to each other as we grow together. Amen. Did you want this, Steve?
Good morning again. Hello, everyone. Wonderful. So, I'm wearing a crown. I'm going to take it off in a second. But just to explain, this isn't an ego trip. And it's not because I see myself as the baddie either, Herod. It's because when I was at primary school, I never got to take a part in the play, the nativity. I was never picked. The only thing I ever got to do was fill in for a wise man king when he was off ill in the practice. And then he came back and I was ousted again. So Amy made this for me this morning. The bribe was I made her breakfast and she worked on a crown for me. So thanks, Ames. I just wanted to say I'm conscious that if you're like me, and I get distracted so easily, if I can't cope with too much movement. So I think that was brilliant, wasn't it? It's great. Children are such an important part of our church life together, and it's so important that they feel part of that. But I just wanted to affirm you as well, that if you're sat there and you're like this during that whole thing, that's okay. I'm like that too. So thank you for going on that journey with us this morning. I kind of wanted to preface, that's what it's called in a book, isn't it? The preface. Preface? I don't know. My sermon this morning, with just a little thought about this. And really what I'm going to focus on this morning is just the last part of that reading. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And I'd want to start by saying that truths like that are meant to be experienced, they're meant to be felt, they're meant to be lived, and we need to do more than intellectualize them. Because that's one of those verses, isn't it, that we can analyze and we can pick apart. What does it mean that God is the beginning and the end? And that's important, and I'm going to share a few thoughts on that. But this week, I've been, in preparing for this, taking a bit of time over that scripture and just letting it soak in. And if you don't take anything in from what I say today, I just encourage you to spend time with this truth sometime this week and let that wash over you. I think I've shared this quote before, but this quote has been one that's profoundly affected me, and it's sort of a mentor author who said that God is not a doctrine to be mastered, but a mystery to be mastered by. God is not a doctrine to be mastered, but a mystery to be mastered by. That idea that we can pick apart, we can talk about, we can analyze, we can try and understand, but actually God's far bigger than that. And he's so big that we need to be caught up in him and mastered by him rather than try and master him ourselves. We need to be mastered by him. And so with this whole area this morning that we're looking at, God being Alpha and Omega, that is so big and so tremendous and so life-changing that I just want to encourage you to be caught up in that. And that's my prayer for this morning. So, as we look at this idea that God is Alpha and Omega, This is one of those things, isn't it, that has been debated for centuries. Scientists debate this, the beginning and the end. Theologians debate it. It's one of those big issues. But I think wherever you land with this question of, or this issue of, how things began and how things end, the important thing is what? What does that mean for your life? How does that affect your life? Because I think an understanding of God as Alpha and Omega can significantly shape the course of our lives and direction of our lives. And I'm going to look at this in two parts this morning. God as Alpha and God as Omega. It's such a simple structure, isn't it? It's so easy. Because there are so many competing stories fighting for our allegiance in life, aren't they? What I mean by that is there's things like the story of consumption, that we are people that were made to consume, to acquire. That's a story that many people live their lives by. They find meaning in acquiring and consuming. And it's one we're taught by advertisers and so many in culture. And there's a story of conquest that, you know, we're a superior group and that's an obvious one in our world right now. And there are thousands of other competing stories. And I think at times I live by the different storylines. And that's why it's so important to come back to scripture like this, I think, and let it master us and help us understand our part in this great story of life. And I think the Bible tells us of a loving God who is from first to last, beginning and end. And this morning what I want to do is just reflect briefly on how an understanding of that, or even just a letting that soak into us, can help us live a better story. So God as beginning. Beginnings matter a lot, don't they? Beginnings help us understand how things came to be and why things are the way they are. So when I first started working at Alma, I met up with I've not got around to everyone yet, so sorry if you're like, you've not done this for me. But I met up with lots of different people, and I'd ask them different questions about how long have you been in the church? What's it been like for you? Trying to get a feel for how things are and why things are the way they are. And we do that, don't we? I used to be a careers advisor. Did it for a year. Trained for a year, did it for a year. Before I worked for church. And it was such an interesting experience, working with teenagers in school as a careers advisor. And they'd come in saying, I'd like to do this. And then I'd have to work out whether they really did want to do that and whether that was a realistic thing. And my favourite one was a lad came in, and he was deadly serious. And he said, I want to move to Mexico and be a wrestler. And this was his dream in life. And trying to ask questions to find out the origins of this desire. Why do you want to do that? But on a more serious note, the people would come in and say, I want to be a dentist. Why do you want to be a dentist? And you find out the origin of that is because, oh, my parents want to be a dentist. Actually, I love art. You know, these sort of things. So beginnings are so important. And they're important in much more serious ways. In the criminal justice system, we try and find out what was the origin of this behavior, these thoughts? All sorts of stuff. In all sorts of areas of life, beginnings are so significant because they give a context to the story. And out of that, they shape our sense of purpose in life, don't they, as well? I was thinking about, look, you can think of tons of examples of this, but I guess the one that came to me was Lord of the Rings, Frodo, you know. Such a sense of purpose, such determination. To take this ring, if you don't know the story, he has to destroy this ring because it's evil, basically. And he has to destroy it in a lake of fire in a mountain. And he has to go through all kinds of tribulations and almost to the point of death to do this. But he wouldn't have been able to do that unless he understood why he was doing it in the first place, unless Gandalf had given him that commission. So that might be a silly example. Think of your own. But they shape our sense of purpose in life, beginnings. And they also help shape our sense of identity, I think. And again, that can be for better or for worse. One of my best friends, when he was a child, suffered serious abuse from his extended family. Horrible abuse, names and worse, that really affected his behavior an image in later life that he's still unpacking to this day. So beginnings just go a long way to shaping our stories, in good ways and in ways that need challenging and reframing. So what does that mean for us in terms of thinking of God as our Alpha? As Alpha, not our Alpha, everyone's Alpha, our universe is Alpha. Beginning, the one who was. And in reflecting on this week and just spending time letting that wash over me, a few things came to my mind. The first one is that to understand and know God as Alpha means we understand that we're part of a created universe. That our story, that shapes our story, and that this is not chance. We're not here by chance or by accident. That we're created. And that is a massively powerful message. That is a deeply personal and relational message, that we're created. We're here for a reason. God, there's someone behind all of this. The second thing, I think, in God being our Alpha, is that then all is gift. All is gift. If there's a creator, if there's an Alpha, if there is one who was, then all of this is not right. It's not our right. Life, everything we have is gift. We didn't plan it. We didn't earn it. And that shapes our story, in that we live with a sense of giftedness, that all is gift. And that, I think, helps us live open-handedly, gratefully. And that is significant in shaping our stories. And I think the third thing is, by the way, this is all in Genesis, I guess. You can find all this. This is the biblical narrative. Then we're stewards as well. We have responsibility. We have delegated responsibility by God. It's not ours to pilfer. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Thank you. I've not even been using this. I always take this and I always just completely forget that I'm supposed to be controlling my PowerPoint. But Jonathan is on it. Thank you, Jonathan. That is such an important message. And we can become blasé to this, especially because we're probably a church where most people believe we are stewards of the earth. But in a lot of places, in Christian circles, we don't see it like that. We see it as, it's going to end anyway. Let's just enjoy it while we've got it. You know, God's going to burn it all up. But we're stewards of the earth for this generation and for future generations. And that is shaped by a sense of knowing that God is Alpha. He's our creator. So I think it shapes our sense of purpose, identity, and responsibility. And the question I just want to throw out to reflect on this morning is, what is shaping yours, mine, our story? It's an important question to answer, to reflect on that. What is shaping the way I see myself, the way I understand my role on this earth? And to know God as Alpha is life-affirming, it's empowering, it's a healing message. I encourage you to meditate on that. The second thing is, oh, there we go. God as Omega, God as End. And I think end here is perhaps an unhelpful word because it's so final and so definite. And I guess what I mean by end here, and what I think the biblical image is the future to which we're heading. The future that isn't yet, but is to come. And I hope that brings you comfort this morning, that there's a future with God to come. And whatever you're going through, it's only for a while. It's only for a little while. And in the biblical story, the hope that God is our Omega enabled followers of Jesus to go through all kinds of terrible tribulations. And I'm just going to read something to you from 2 Corinthians, written by Paul, who went through all kinds of stuff. And he said this. I think it might be. Could you click it, Jonathan? maybe not. This is from 2 Corinthians. It says, Paul writes, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I've got so many friends at the moment. It seems to be a time of year where just lots of difficult things are happening to people. Lots of difficult things. And, you know, it can be so unhelpful to say to them, you know, it's only for a while, don't worry. And that is something that they have to come to with God, I guess, themselves. But that is the truth, isn't it? That there is a future beyond with God. And the thing I want to reflect on this morning, actually, is this, that this is so important because, and I've got a little phrase, I like little catchphrases, and this one came to me. Because endings are about what we anticipate, aren't they? What we imagine is to come is what we anticipate. And what we anticipate determines in what we participate. What we anticipate determines in what we participate. What I mean by that is, if you anticipate you're in a relationship and you anticipate that being heading towards marriage, the way you participate in that relationship is so different if you anticipate it, oh, it's just a bit of fun for a while. You know, I was speaking to a friend of mine a while ago, and he was seeing a girl, and I seemed quite serious, so I asked him about it. He said, oh, no, I don't think it'll last long, but, you know, it's fun at the moment. Thankfully, they're still together, and he's worked through all that. But that sense of what you anticipate determines how you participate in it. I guess another way of thinking of it is, there's a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and written by Stephen Covey. And he writes, begin with the end in mind. And this does tie in. And I think this applies in a funny kind of way to this idea that God is Omega. In the sense that if you imagine, you know, one day you see yourself being an Olympic champion, athlete, that's the end you have in mind. And so the way you participate is you hire the best coaches, the best fitness instructor, nutritionist. You get up early in the morning to train. You make sacrifices. You live with a sense of the end that you have in mind. And that determines the shape of your life, the shape of your story. So to say that God is Alpha and Omega means we anticipate a future in God and in God's kingdom. And that has such significant ramifications for the way we live in this world. And a couple of those I just want to share with you. The first one is that I've already mentioned it, that our current circumstances aren't the end. Whatever we're going through, it's only for a little while. I went to Bible college for 3 years, and one moment was worth the fee for me of going to Bible college and spending 3 years there. And our lecturer was reflecting on Hebrews 2, 6 to 8. And in the NIV, you don't get this sense, but in other versions you do. And it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. And the lecturer just stopped at that moment. And it was such a profound moment. And he just said, whatever you're going through, it's not forever. And honestly, what that did to that room, people going through all sorts of stuff, was one of the most powerful moments, well, the most powerful moment I experienced studying all the theology I did. The second thing about that is that death isn't the end. And this might sound so obvious to so many of us that have been in church for so long, but I think it's worth saying these things. The death and resurrection of Jesus tells us that death doesn't have the final word, that God is our Omega. Death is merely a doorway into a new way of living with God. what that means, I think, for all of us in our lives, and you, again, I just encourage you to reflect on that, is that ultimate meaning isn't found in what is now. We all sometimes find meaning in our careers, in our wealth, in relationships. And that, they're all good, but they're all temporary things. There's meaning beyond... God as Omega means there is meaning beyond these few short years that we have on earth. And the Bible talks about things that remain, faith, hope, and love, the things that we should invest in now, the things that will last, the things that won't be like wood, hay, rubble, burned up in the fire, things that will last. And Jesus, I think, talked about it as the kingdom of God, didn't he? He talked about this idea that there's a kingdom beyond the grave, but it's also invading the now. And so we anticipate that kingdom, so we participate in it now. And when Jesus came and he was doing his stuff, and John the Baptist sent his followers to say, you know, are you the one we should expect? And he said, well, blind eyes are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking. These things, signs of the kingdom of God at work now. And the message of Jesus is that we can participate in that now. He said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth now as it is in heaven. Participating in a future we anticipate with God. And so we pray for the sick. And so we forgive people who wrong us. We reconcile with people who have offended us. We seek peace because these are things of ultimate concern. So to know God as Alpha and Omega. I read something really interesting this week about, you've heard that phrase, you know, you can be so heavenly minded you're of no earthly good. And this author was just reflecting and saying, you can also be so earthly minded that you're of no earthly good. You can be so earthly minded that you're of no earthly good to anyone else. Because all all your meaning is found in earthly things. And what he was trying to reflect on is, there's a way of being heavenly minded that makes you of earthly good. Because being heavenly minded anticipates this future kingdom where love, joy, peace, these things matter. And so you participate in that future you're heading towards now. I just want to close with one last thing that I was reflecting on this week that I kind of felt was a message for this morning. And in imagining this sense of, in sitting with the sense that God is both Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, I just caught up in the sense of, with the psalmist, you know, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. Make my bed in the depths, you are there. That God will not leave us or forsake us, that God is with us. And a verse from Deuteronomy that I'd just like to read to you, and I think I might have that actually. Sorry, shows how much I've been using this. And I felt this was a verse for us this morning. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And the image for me that almost our experience at the end of it all, we fall into God. This God with everlasting arms, we fall into God, the God who loves us. They're my, what feel like a bit ramblings this morning, forgive me for that. This has been a big thing for me to get my head around, but I do want to just encourage you that to take that verse and make it your own this week. After we went home last week, Amy wrote the scripture from the service up on it. We got a blackboard wall in our kitchen, and she wrote it up, and the idea was that it was sort of our theme verse for the week. And so I do want to encourage you, whatever you've heard this morning, just to take that and allow that verse to pass to you, to care for you, to shape your experience. Can we pray? I'm just going to read that verse from Revelation again as part of our prayer. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God, who was, thank you that we are part of a great creative plan. Thank you that in that we have purpose and identity as created ones, along with all of creation. And God, who is, thank you that you are with us right now, that you are with us, whatever we feel, whatever we're going through, whatever we're going back to, that you are with us, Lord. Where can we go from your presence? And thank you that you are the one who is to come, and you call us to you. You call us to participate in a kingdom that's coming one day, kingdom of love and reconciliation, where all things will be put right. Kingdom of peace. Help us, Lord, to be ones who have in mind the kingdom that is to come, that we might be peacemakers, that we might be joy sharers, reconcilers, modeling a kingdom that is to come and bringing it and praying it into the now. In Jesus' name, amen.